episode 46 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Lindsay, Robin, Andy, and Elizabeth. In episode 24, we talked to special guest Heidi about how to travel with nothing but a carry-on bag. Well, today we wanted to completely kill this idea by talking about the essential, non-essential items that we take on various vacation types with us. It's something that you don't need, but having it makes your vacation so much better. So let's get started. I have a couple of these things that I always bring.
You're only allowed to bring one.
Okay. So the one thing that I think I always bring, no matter what type, and I know we have listed different types of vacations, but my thing I always bring is a bag of goldfish. And they have to be, and if you guys have shared a room with me, you know that I do, but it's got to be the Flavor Blast and the pretzel mix.
And I can attest that if she runs out, you have to go to the store and get them.
is this your travel company?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, and it's also, if you're hungry, you need to tell me that you want some because I'm not going to automatically offer them to you.
And the story behind that is I was totally sitting in the back seat waiting for the goldfish to come back. They totally did not. Sandy's like, nah, 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 nah.
I don't remember the goldfish being
there. There were goldfish.
Oh, there were goldfish mm-hmm. there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Well, absolutely. White cheddar
popcorn she got me addicted to.
I got you popcorn?
Yeah, no, you bought it for you, and then you guys abandoned me with all your food. Yeah. I gained like 5 pounds.
And now we're like, oh, if we don't eat all this, Lindsay's staying another few days, so she can keep it all.
I usually take, if you're talking about food, I usually take to bring Swedish fish, because I love Swedish fish. And I sometimes, depending on where I'm going, will stick some Pepsis into my suitcase. Because most places have Coke, and I only drink Pepsi.
That is such a loyalty. I actually went to Walt Disney World.
Brand loyalty.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
I went to Walt Disney World with a Pepsi drinker, and she said, you need to tell me that there's nothing but Coke there. I was like, seriously? You can't? No, no. Yeah, we had to buy Pepsi.
The drinks are incredibly different. I mean,
mm-hmm. Yeah, and dark, bubbly,
and brown. And
so, Robin, basically, you take caffeinated sugar water and Swedish fish, exactly.
Swedish fish are like gummies, right?
They're like that's red gummies. Yeah. Gummies. Penny candy.
I do have one thing that from a confectionery standpoint that I do like to travel with. If, particularly if I'm on a long flight, I'm kind of addicted to Atomic Fireballs. Those are my kind of go-to.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
Travel with those, or out.
When you're hot, you're hot.
Can you buy those outside of Cracker Barrel?
Yes, Lindsay, you can. The Southeast are actually a delicacy.
Although, honestly, we have enough Cracker Barrels here. You can swing the cat and hit a Cracker Barrel, so yeah. It'd be no problem getting one. I don't. Well, that's weird. I don't bring food.
Containers of Atomic Fireballs. So, yeah, many stores around.
That is weird that you don't bring food.
I don't bring food.
You have kids. And, you know, I think that's where I got the habit from.
They get really angry with me, too, because they want gum on a flight. And I don't chew gum, so I never think to do it. And then they hate me. It's really, I don't know how we travel as a family, actually.
My 5-year-old is actually, because this is the way I drive everywhere with a tin of Altoids everywhere in the car. And I've got her, you know, she's quite well. She gets in the car and says, Dad, can I have an Altoid? So my 5-year-old eats furiously strong mints.
There you go.
My daughter loves beef jerky, so yeah.
Is that a road trip? Kind
so of? Yeah, but usually on a road trip we can stop at a gas station. But maybe for our next flight, I should consider actually, yeah. I don't know, being a parent and purchasing something she might want to have.
Toting a bag full of snacks. Yeah.
I actually bake cookies a lot too, and bring them on flights.
Wow.
Flying to California.
We had a friend who used to do that for us.
Shout out to yes. Jen Hamp.
She would bake for like a week before we would go.
This
somewhere.
One time, we were driving back from Disney, and she had made enough cookies for like 6 of us. And on the way home, our friend Roxanne, the only skinny one in the car, was like, where are all those cookies? And me and Emma were like, ha, 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 those cookies that were gone 3 days ago. Like, are you kidding?
You snooze, you lose.
Yeah, like, those cookies are long gone. Yeah. They didn't last till the ride home.
So let's talk about long flights. Is there anything else that you take, like, for a long flight, like your essential, non-essential item?
I'm getting ready to be on a flight that's actually three legs, and I think I'm going to wear my compression sleeves on my legs for that. Do you that's do that, Lindsay?
Smart. I do. I bring a couple pairs.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's nothing to really sneeze at. I mean, deep vein thrombosis is a major issue when you're traveling. I travel transatlantically quite frequently, and I don't wear anything, but I make a point of getting up.
Mm-hmm. You don't wear anything in
it?
He doesn't wear anything. Nothing.
I like to make a statement wherever I go. What can I say?
And that's actually something I forget to do. I forget to get up and walk around because I get sort of settled. And
I usually find myself in a window seat, so yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to disturb the people beside me. And
I only want an aisle, even though I have short legs. I want to be able to stretch move my leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting next to a guy on a plane not long ago, and he had, like, a whole movie on his laptop, and I was like, okay, maybe next time I'll, like, download something, and I can watch it the whole time. But that's I'm not that organized to download
stuff. I actually often, and I can even do this in the airport, I'll buy Sudoku or some sort of math puzzles. Mm-hmm. For some reason, that's when I want to do them is on a long flight.
Yeah.
Any other time I'm like, math, all right, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I want to do math puzzles on a long flight.
I have at least a book or two or three loaded on my Kindle that I haven't read and I'm dying to read, otherwise I'll go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, before a trip, I always download some books on my iPad.
And I've cut it close, too. I've been on the plane right before they were turn all your electronics off, still downloading.
Oh, really?
Come on, baby! Andy, what about you? What's your, like, long flight?
It varies. I find it very hard to sleep on a plane, particularly when I fly back to visit family in England. The flight's 8 hours from Atlanta to Manchester. There are two things that I know we're kind of trying to limit ourselves to one. I'm going to book the trend here and go with two, because that's the way I roll. Is a neck pillow, because it just helps me just get comfortable, especially for that flight towards England across the Atlantic. It's through the night. That's really your best chance to sleep. Or I like to take a book of crossword puzzles or something to read. The in-flight movies are great. The entertainment systems are on the way in the past 20 years or so. But, sometimes you really don't want to watch whatever's on there. And, I just like to do my own thing. So book of crossword puzzles.
Yeah, I feel like I have to switch between something interactive and a movie. Yeah. I can't just watch movies the whole time. I have to, do something where I'm actually participating.
The other thing that once I reach the end of the conclusion of my international flight, the one thing that I always make sure that I have with me, and this is just, I think, just smart travel advice, is to make sure that I have a universal adapter for whatever country I'm going to. And the electrical outlets in the UK are different from here in North America, which are different from continental Europe, which are different from the Middle East, which are different from the Far East. So just make sure, you need to charge your electronic devices, otherwise you're not going to be able to read your book on your iPad coming back home, because your battery will be gone if you're gone for 10 days or so.
Yep, and if you haven't traveled for a while, it's sort of interesting how times have changed, because you used to really need a converter, something that would actually change the voltage, but now with a lot of modern, an iPad, an iPhone, most Droids as well, it's really just a converter. It's just something that, because the phone, the device itself can adapt to the currency. So you're really only basically looking for something that you can plug in, that you can plug your thing into, just so, because the plug is different.
Yeah.
So, but that, and that is important, because we said that these were non-essential items, and that this, and yes, when you check into your hotel, you can probably borrow one, but it's really nice to have one.
It's nice to have your own, not worrying about that. Your phone's on 3%, and it's I really need to charge it, so I can just let everybody know I'm here
without my phone
on the hotel Wi-Fi.
Nowadays, we all have a lot of electronic devices, maybe only a couple people in a hotel room. You still may need a power strip or some type of extender to be able to plug all those things in and stay charged. And
But I know, you know, a lot of the things we talked about traveling, it's about switching off and getting away from the electronic devices. I know we all like to be, you know, in communication with our loved ones and also brag about where we're traveling to on, you know, social media. But what about things that, you know, aren't to do with recharging your iPad or your phone or whatever? What are the essential things? If you're taking a cruise, other than the power strip, what are the other things that you guys absolutely have to have?
You're going to laugh, but we take, whenever we go away, we take a hamper, a fold-up hamper from, I think I got them at like Walmart, three of them for $10 or something. And we take, depending on how long we're going, or if we have two rooms, we'll take two of them. Or if it's, you know, like 8 or 9 days, we'll take two of them. But they really help because
I'm
not throwing things back into the drawer.
But putting dirty clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I won't laugh at that either, because even my children are like, where do I put my dirty clothes? And if you have children, do not want their dirty clothes just wherever.
Yeah, you don't want to mix them back in with the clean clothes. Yeah.
So,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, it really is. It really is.
I use the old Run Disney check bags from races. I save those clear bags and I use them.
Yeah, well, and,
so,
you know.
I took plastic bags with me for that very reason, but I think a hamper makes me.
They fold up.
They flatten. You know what my dad did? We took a Disney cruise last year, and he was at my house with his laundry in a Disney cruise laundry bag.
Put it in there.
And I was like, Dad, you know those weren't free, right? You know, he's like, they gave them to us. What, you know, what else was I supposed to do with that? I'm like,
well, they are technically free as long as you don't put them in for them to do laundry. That's when they charge you.
No, he took it home.
Oh, is it one of the cloth ones?
Yeah.
Ew.
He uses it all the time. That's like his souvenir.
Disney, please ignore this podcast. Don't listen. Turn it off right now.
No, I think the idea of a hamper is really smart. It's something I've never really thought of. But I've used plastic bags, but I really see the benefit in that. That's, well, in a similar vein, one thing I always take with me is a wrinkle release spray, you know, to sort of help freshen clothing up if it's been sort of, for example, my dress pants or anything for those smart evenings, the elegant evenings, whatever you call them on cruise ships, you know, pants get creases in them and, you know, I just tend to spray them down, put them in the bathroom, run the shower a little bit and the wrinkles fall out.
And, really? And I go down and I iron mine.
You can't always iron them. It depends on the cruise line. But.
Yeah. And a little thing of Febreze also helps as well. Not necessarily just the laundry.
when we have bathing suits, I bring clothes to them.
Dry.
That's a good idea.
Because otherwise, we end up with bathing suits on every door handle.
Yeah. And that's actually, so a really popular thing to do on cruises is to bring magnetic hooks. The ones that like would hook the powerful ones that'll hook to your refrigerator or whatever, because everything on a ship is magnetic. It's all the walls, everything is like metal. So although there are usually plenty of hooks in your room, they're never enough.
Yeah.
And so you can hook things and then you can take the hook down. And
that's a good idea.
And the clothespins are great because they don't take up much room.
And they're not expensive. So if you lose a few.
Yeah. Or you could use command hooks too. Those stay up pretty good too. If you get the big ones. So another thing I always take with me, pretty much any kind of travel I'm doing, is a refillable water bottle. I constantly have a water bottle. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I even take it on the plane, and what I do is I empty it out before I go through security.
Yeah.
And then I go someplace that has a thing with sodas, and I buy a bottle of water, and I fill it up with ice, fill the bottle up with ice. And then I just keep keep adding water.
Mm-hmm. You know, when I was at RDU recently, Raleigh-Durham Airport, they had water bottle refilling stations where the water fountains were. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah, it is a good idea because...
Yeah, I've done that at Disney World too with a refillable, like those Camelback bottles, and just fill them up at water fountains.
And that's actually a tip that a lot of people don't know because Florida water tastes like dirt, kind of. But the filters at Walt Disney World are really good. So you can fill back up at a water fountain and it doesn't taste like dirt.
You can also ask for free ice water and fill your own water bottle. So. Yeah.
So I have a really lame one for all-inclusives, and this is going to sound really stupid, but I learned this, well, I didn't learn this the hard way. A friend of mine learned this the hard way. Fortunately, we had sunscreen to lend to her. But bring sunscreen to an all-inclusive, because if you run out, it's like $30 a bottle. Do holy not holy. Run out. Yeah, bring like 6 bottles.
And don't go without either.
Yes, and don't go without either. Yeah. That's that's sort of and sunscreen is sort of an essential, but you really want to make sure you have enough when you're, especially when you're going someplace expensive. Hawaii is the same way. A lot of people forget to put sunscreen on in Hawaii because it's so the sun is out, but there's a nice breeze all the time, so you don't realize how much sun you're getting. And people get the worst sunburns in Hawaii because they just don't realize. So you always want to bring enough. And whenever you go to an island, it's going to be expensive. But then when you go to an all-inclusive and you're trapped, we were shocked. Like a spray thing of Copper Tin, $30.
That sounds like Bonnaroo. It's a music festival where you're stuck on this farm. And they were like, it was like $30 for batteries and stuff. It's crazy.
It's going to be expensive. One thing that caught us out, we spent some time at Isla Roatan off the coast of Honduras, and they had a private cabana around the beach all day. And we did put sunscreen on. However, my youngest one, you know, we weren't reapplying quite as maybe deliberately as frequently as we should have been. And trying to find aloe vera to put on a little after sun type stuff was quite expensive to find as well. So make sure that's always a good tip to bring some of that with you as well.
Cool. That's a premium demand thing.
If you're going to go one place and forget it, Aruba would be the place. Because I wore sunscreen in Aruba from, you know, my Florida sunscreen that I take everywhere with me. I fried because it wasn't the same. And I ended up having to go buy, and it's the capital of aloe vera there. So, you know, it's everywhere. So they have some of the best sunscreen products. Thank goodness. I spent about $100 in the gift shop. With like 6 different kinds, but I keep on looking like a red lobster. Is the worst burn I've ever had in my whole life, and I didn't understand. Yeah. I'm like, I put it on all day long. How did I?
It's, but you know, the Caribbean is way more intense with the sun. Yeah. I mean, I can't do the same thing. Yeah,
it is, and that's the one thing I have to warn my family about. When they come over, they're from Northern England.
Oh God,
they come down to the Carolinas or wherever they've been, to the Dominican Republic and all through the Caribbean as well. The intensity level of the sun is that much greater, more concentrated. And it's like, why are we burning so quickly? It's,
you definitely.
And that really is, that's the thing with Hawaii. It's so, the sun is so intense there, but you don't notice it because of the breeze, of the cross breezes that are on the island. So, so many people, And I mean, I can tell you stories of, you know, I went on a chaperone trip right after high school. And one of the chaperones, like, had put his own sunscreen on.
Oh, man.
And he had these handprints on his shoulder from where you could tell he had, like, gone and slapped it on. And, the rest of his back was, like, bright red.
And I will say this, too. I don't think those spray sunscreens work as well. You want, like, a nice, thick, lotion-y sunscreen.
So here's another non-essential item that some people don't think of, and that is water shoes. If you expect to spend time at a pool, I actually had a very good friend recently at a very popular theme park location at a very expensive resort get third-degree burns on his feet. Because that literally the pool deck can get hot enough to fry an egg or your feet.
And it's funny because
I'm still healing from that. It's been months.
I don't remember that being an issue when I was a kid, but now I can't walk through a water park or something without my flip flops or something on my feet.
And something like water shoes are something that you can wear into the pool and out of the pool. So with your flip flops, because in this case, the pool is one of the pool area was almost like a water park where you can go into a pool and then out of a pool and then in again.
Right.
And so you tend not to wear anything on your feet because you're going in and out. Mm-hmm. And so water shoes, honestly, it's something that, especially in our generation, we never had water shoes when I was a kid. It just didn't
exist. I used to walk to the beach. I mean, my parents lived 3 blocks from the ocean, and I would walk to the beach barefoot all summer long. I never wore shoes. And my kids now, they don't either, and I can't do it now. And so I guess they just have that those tough kid feet or
seriously,
something.
Third-degree burns. I'm not even exaggerating.
As you say, Sandy, it's not something that you need to think about just around the pool. I wear water shoes if I'm going in the ocean or the lake or cave tubing or anything like that, because it helps just walking on. You don't know what's actually under the surface of the water, rocks or whatever. And it just, I have these, they're really cheap. I've had them for years. I probably need to replace them. But they do get a lot of use, and they do just help you with your footing. You know, when you maybe it's just me and my equilibrium.
Well, when we do like when we went to Yosemite and stuff like that, we always wore like Keens, you know, like the kind of river sandals that strap to your feet, you know, so that you have that because there, the Merced River is, you know, it's big rocks on the bottom, and it's, you know, there are some sandy parts, but you're going to be walking on.
So I want to ask something, and I'm trusting that Andy has an opinion on this because of the experience in the industry, but multi-city tours, I know there's something that a lot of people don't think of when you're going from, you know, if you're doing one of those 10 cities in 14 days kind of tours.
Or 14 cities in 10 days.
Either way. I actually find that packing more small suitcases suits me better than packing really large suitcases because you're unpacking and repacking so many times. Andy, what's your opinion on that? Because somebody else is handling your luggage, so you don't have to worry about...
That's know. Where you well, get the little bags.
These will limit you to one suitcase.
That's what I was going to...
So what's your tip for multi-city?
Horse rich. And the way I get around things like that is I see exactly what you're saying. I have these little dividers. They're actually, I bought them with some luggage. They zip and you can put like your socks and underwear in one or dirty laundry in another. And they're just, you know, they zip up. But they keep the certain items of clothing, even different items of clean clothing or dirty clothing, away from each other within the one suitcase. Your porterage is typically included in an escorted tour or with an escorted tour. But, you might be limited to maybe 3 items of luggage per room. And so the idea, I like the idea of having sort of, you're not going to be able to keep it sort of with you at all times or figure out which one's which and then I'm done with this one. That's really not going to work. But I found having something that separates your items within your larger suitcase is probably the best way to go about it.
I'm actually going to be employing that, so I will let you know how it goes. I took some of Heidi's tips to heart from the episode where we talked about packing light, and when I go to Anchorage in a few days, I'm going to try to do it with just carry-on luggage.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have to tell you that I have since her intervention, Packers Anonymous intervention, I increased the amount of those little bags that I pack in. And I know Robin can attest, my whole entire carry-on, I've taken carry-ons where it's just a bag with this outfit for this day and this, you know, pajamas in one, socks in one, underwear, everything in its own little bag. And it makes it so much easier, especially when you don't have to unpack anything into the drawers or settle in anywhere. And you can get them dirt cheap on Amazon or at TJ Maxx or wherever, but they'll come in like sets of 4 for the little plastic ones for like $10 or something.
Yeah, and that's the important thing is you need to shop a little bit because you can find them for a lot more too. Yeah, so make sure you're not.
I got them on Amazon and mine has like 3 cubes and a laundry bag that's attached to it. So, you know, and I also bought those little silicone tubes that she talked about that you can put your shampoos and stuff in because I'm not going to be taking the big thing. And where I'm going, I don't even know if I'll have good. I think I'll probably have good, like, sample things. But one of them is, like, a remote fishing lodge kind of place. So I don't know if they're going to have shampoo there. Yeah.
You might have oil of salmon.
Yeah.
I am so going to ask Amy to listen to this one, our guest from Alaska. She's going to love that. So we talked about on family trips, we take snacks. What do you take on your adult-only trips? And this is a family show.
I like the box of wine myself.
What was that, Sandy?
A box of wine. Well, you know it's not going to break. I mean, you know.
Yeah. It feels like it tastes like crap.
I don't remember.
What'd you say, Robin?
I have not been on an adult-only trip in so long. Ask me this in a month.
So I think a corkscrew is essential. And sometimes I use it, sometimes I don't. But some sort of corkscrew bottle opener is really important because there's nothing more frustrating than having a bottle of wine and going, oh, I can't do it.
Yeah, and, you know, my husband and I are not the type of people that can open up a beer bottle with our wedding ring. You know, my cousin can do that. He can pop open a bottle with anything, a lighter,
a piece of tissue.
Yeah, I know. It's like eyeball. Yeah, we can't do that.
One of the TSA agents on my last trip, I went to the Coke Museum in Atlanta, and I got the little glass bottle of Coke, and I forgot to put it in my check bag. And so I had it just in the plastic bag hanging onto it. No, I really forgot I even had it. And the TSA agent, I picked it up and I didn't have a bottle opener. The TSA agent, without missing a beat, he grabs it and he like hits it on the side of the plastic thing and flips the top, catches the top, and then hands it back to me. He must sit there and do that all day long because everybody in Atlanta is coming from the
yeah, right? That's like the hot spot in Atlanta.
I've never had any doubt about what happens to alcohol that gets confiscated at TSA. Now I know.
Exactly. Well, make the point. I have two bottle openers on my keychain that I have one in reserve in case my main one breaks.
because you do not want to be caught unprepared.
Yeah. And of course,
that's dedication.
Yeah. Oh, you never know when you'll because I can sniff out a decent beer anyway. I always need something with which to open it.
Yeah, exactly.
But of course, food is always important. I've often, on cruises, you can often take a 750 milliliters of bottle of wine per person. Right. You have to consume it in your stateroom. But obviously, you need something with which to open it too. Mm-hmm. So I always take a little Swiss Army knife, as long as it meets the requirements, doesn't exceed them.
And you don't put it in your checked bag. You put it in your, I mean, you put it in your checked bag. You don't check it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I will say, a Swiss Army knife is really so much more useful than most people think anyway. You have, little scissors and everything in there and the things that you don't think about when you're shopping for something. If you buy sunglasses or something and they have those really thick plastic things that you break your teeth trying to.
Yeah.
The toothpick alone pays for it.
Okay. I've yet to find a really good use of that parachute repair utility. Maybe I'm not taking the right sort of trip.
Yeah, really.
We'll see. We'll see what happens in the rest of 2015.
Another thing that we tend to bring always, and you're going to laugh at this, but some air freshener for the bathroom. Especially when you're sharing a bathroom with four people. Yeah.
That's being very prepared. I used to bring wipes and stuff all the time, like the Clorox kind, because I have boys, and I'm I don't share a bathroom with them normally, and
but you can get a travel pack of those that don't take that much room.
It's true.
It just requires a little bit of pre-planning for things. Yeah. But they're all things that have merit when you travel.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
One thing that's kind of embarrassing, but I can't leave home without it. I take Chub Rub, which is not the technical term
for it. Okay, for the record, before we recorded, I said, Lindsay, make sure you use the technical term.
I don't know if she knows the technical.
What does it say on the bottle?
Does it say Monistat anti-chafing cream? Does that sound better?
Anti-chafing cream.
Chub Rub.
I would have said, Body Glide.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
For your legs, and especially if you're going to water parks or theme parks where you're going to be getting wet and then walking around all day.
Yep.
That
or
is like.
Just, or you're just taking an excursion from a short trip or something, and humid and.
So you can buy this. You can get this in running stores and at places like that, and it's Body Glide. And
that's what I have.
Yeah.
But Body Glide doesn't work as good as the anti-chafing gel because it dries to a powder. The gel does.
Okay, but it still sounds better than Chub Rub.
Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com and then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you want to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast or search for Fly Away. Or you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. And on behalf of Lindsay, Robin, Elizabeth, and Andy, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we will see you next week. Gotta fly.